All right, welcome to the Visions for Fellowship, and we will start with a serenity prayer. And people are welcome to press star 6 to unmute for the serenity prayer. God, grant us the serenity,
To accept the things that
we cannot
change.
Courage to change the things we can. And the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will not mine be done.
Amen.
Welcome, everyone, to Visions for Fellowship. During this call, three DA speakers with long-term recovery will share for 15 minutes each their experience, strength, and hope about how they moved from isolation into a life filled with rich meaning and purpose. In recovery, these members have not only found positive, loving connections in their meetings and with other members, but have the experience of extending this sense of fellowship beyond their own meetings to service and growing DA fellowship. So I'm going to announce that our first speaker today will be Chris. And Chris, are you on the line? Press star 6 to unmute.
Oh, such big thumbs. I'm here.
All right. How can you let our timekeeper know how you'd like your 15 minutes timed?
Yes, please. May I have, let's go 5532.
You've got it.
You.
All right. Thank you. Please proceed, Chris. Thanks for your service.
Okay, well, good morning or good afternoon, everyone, depending on where you're calling from. I'm here in beautiful Los Angeles, and I'm thrilled to be on this call. I really appreciate all the time, effort, love, and recovery that went into organizing this and bringing people together. That is, that's the true spirit of fellowship, participation, and holding the light. I think so much of our fellowship, my fellowship, comes from someone holding up a light ahead of me and saying, you know, we're going in this direction. Follow us as best you can. And anyway, thank you for all the organizers. Thank you to all the organizers who've who set this up. I've been in the DA program since, July 10th of 2015. And it was just a hot mess when I came in. Oh, my God, there was nowhere to turn. My entire life as a debtor, which had been part of my entire life, had just bottomed out. It was a classic definition of bottoming out and with nowhere to turn. And, you know, the craziest thing is that I the problems I had and the fears I had and the situation that I had created, like, I couldn't drink it away. I couldn't drug it away. There was, like, nothing I could do. I couldn't sex it away. There was nothing I could do to make me feel better because I felt so bad. I felt so terribly, terribly frightened about just putting a roof over my head, food in my stomach, gas in the car. And yet all the time, the craziest thing that didn't make sense is that I was the hardest working guy. I made really good money. And I was honest as the day is long, and yet I had no control over my money. And I realized that no control was due to my compulsive behaviors around debting. And not even so, you know, and as my recovery grew, I realized it was not so much just debting. It was the deflection of abundance, the deflection of self-care that was causing these things. And while it didn't make sense, compulsive behaviors continued, and they will continue until I found a fellowship that of other people who had the same problem. And at first you might think, well, you know, how's that going to help? You know, like you hit yourself in the head with a hammer, and then all you do is go into a room with a bunch of other people who are hitting themselves in the heads with hammers. How's that going to help? But the way it helped was to immediately to walk into the DA fellowship on that day. The way it helped is to first and foremost know I was not alone, that there was someone I could talk to about this, that there were other, let me rephrase that. What I just said is there was someone I could talk to about this. I was shy going into it because I was still so ashamed of where I was and what I was doing. And at least I was listening to other people talk about their money and their situation. So when I got in that room, I realized I was with a group of people. We had similar, yes, we had similar problems, but yes, we had similar goals, which was to recover and find a better way of life. And there were common, there were just a few basic pillars in that program that appealed to me. One was, you know, just the steps that really, I was born and raised Catholic, you know, went to Catholic school 12 years, and, you know, so there's always kind of a doctrine and steps to follow to get to heaven and whatnot. And anyway, even though DA is not a religious program, there was the 12 steps, and the first one being, we admitted we are powerless over debt and our lives have become unmanageable. Now, leading up to my going into DA, I was trying everything I could, every self-help book, every workshop, every seminar, and thinking that there was some way I could control this, I could change this. And so you get in that room with all those, you know, like at a self-help seminar, and all they keep saying, and all the people around you keep saying, we can change this, we can make this better, we are the masters of our destiny. Well, you get into DA, and the first thing they tell you is we are powerless over our debt, and our lives have become unmanageable. And somehow, just telling the truth and slowing down long enough was a blessing. It didn't make me happy. You know, there's always that false hope that, you know, things are going to turn around magically. But when I got to DA, it was people who were honest enough to tell the truth about themselves. And by me being a part of that fellowship, I eventually was able to tell the truth about myself as well.
That's and, 5 minutes.
Thank you. And so anyway, that's what the fellowship did for me first and foremost. It put me in a room of a bunch of people who had the same problems, but they're going in the same direction, recovering, and supporting each other along the way. And I thought, well, you know, I my problems and my emotions and my fear, I can't drink it away, I can't drug it away, I can't sex it away, but man, I can come to these meetings and I can talk about it and I can listen about it. And I can read about it, you know, with the literature. And I can have pressure relief groups about it. And so what I started finding is that I was more and more, it's one thing to go into a room and be in the fellowship, but I found it took about 2 years to really realize that in order to recover, it was important for me to become part of the fellowship and active in the fellowship and contributing to the fellowship. You know, the guiding light of the traditions, we are self-supporting through our own contributions. We are self-supporting, we're self-supporting through our own contributions, and I realize it's not just a financial statement. It is, when we're looking for answers, sometimes we need to step up and be the answers. Sometimes I need to step up and be the answer, meaning like the people that organize this call. You know, we're self-supporting. Someone comes up with an idea, and then someone else supports that idea. And then that idea becomes reality, and then that reality helps others find answers. So so after about 2 years, I realized that I needed to help the fellowship be self-supporting. An opportunity came up, actually it was a couple of years after that. Oh, so I started contributing. What that meant is that after 2 years, I started having pressure relief groups. And I started looking for a sponsor, and I started taking on sponsees. And what that did, as I said, is it helped me to participate in the group and to contribute to the group. And the other thing about a fellowship, when one can be in a fellowship, but I find when I contribute to a fellowship, it started to give me a sense of self-esteem. And a sense of purpose, and a sense of doing a good job, and a sense of showing up for myself. All these things, by the way, were rehearsal for my other problems of sabotaging my work by being late, by not showing up with a great attitude, with not, what is the phrase? In recovery, we take our problems in here so we can take the solutions out there. So how I started showing up for service positions changed my approach to how I showed up for work. And so that was a really real blessing in my life. And addressed, again, not just the money problem things, like they say in program, it's about the money, but it's not about the money. It's like, me walking into DA was like, going to a doctor's office and the doctor puts a thermometer in my mouth and it's 105 degrees. And I look at that and say, oh my God, I need to get a new thermometer. That thermometer, look at that. And when in reality, all a thermometer does is reflect the fever inside of me. The numbers are not the problem. It's just the thermometer reflecting the fever inside. And so I realized it was I was deflecting a lot of abundance, and that was not just financial, but in self-care. I was deflecting a lot of that, and that helped to explain what was going on and how to address it. So being in the contributing to the fellowship, being of service to the fellowship, it gave me a sense of self-confidence, purpose, pride, and those are the things that I took into the outer world. And doing it in service, it's a safe environment. If I learn making mistakes is okay. Making mistakes is okay. And that's what fellowship, I time and time again, I try to be empathetic and kind to people who are, quote unquote, dropping the ball, in service or in this or in that. Or if we're giving a pressure relief group and the person is being really militant, and not so loving as I think they should be, I try to relax and say, they're just learning, they're growing, this has to be a safe environment for them to find their loving for themselves and then to others. Anyway,
5 minutes.
Thank you. Getting to the point about fellowship and contributing, I had an opportunity to become the workshop chairperson for Southern California. And we grew from about 10 people attending, 10 to 12 people, to on average about anywhere between 60 to 85 people, 60 to 75 people every month. And I say we because I was given the workshops every month, but I had a team around me. That's the other thing I learned in program. And out of that, I was making up workshops every month for 2 years, and out of that came a workshop called the DA Tools Game. And that was created in 2009, and it's still going. We just had the workshop in January of this year, and 187 people attended this game. And basically what we do in the DA Tools game is the key to it is the fellowship. I'm running out of time, so I'll get to the point. All I did was take four tools. One of them was keeping your numbers for 10 minutes a day. And by the way, you have the opportunity to do four tasks a day worth 25 points each. And you do this in a team. That's what's important, in a team of four people. So four strangers in program get together, form a team, and they each do tasks worth 25 points. The first task is to keep your numbers for 10 minutes a day. The second task is to do an act of self-care, something kind for yourself that you're not already doing, 10 minutes a day. The third one is to expand your earning. Do something for 10 minutes a day to expand your earning. Small baby steps. And the fourth thing is to reach out to a team member or an action partner.
3 minutes left.
3 minutes left? Perfect. And to reach out to someone on your team every day to just check in. See, because me, I would always check in with someone when the crap already hit the fan, when it was too late. And I had never up until then developed the habit of just reaching out when I was feeling upset or scared. So every day you reach out, talk to someone, get 25 points. Well, so this was a workshop, but after 30 days you play it for 4 weeks. Everyone plays in teams of four. The teams kind of compete against each other for a team average. And I remember when it ended, people said, "What ended? It's over." What the hell do you mean it's over? And some people just kept going. So now we have people that have been playing the game, and they've been staying in teams of four. They find a team, they find a fellowship that's personal and relevant, and they stick with it. And I was fortunate enough to take this to Seattle, Washington. They had a Northwest Regional Conference, and we took it there, and to Minneapolis, took it there, and people call from around the country and ask, and actually around the world, and say, I've heard about this game, could you send me the materials, and I send it to them. And it's no, here's the thing, all it is self-care, do your numbers, outreach, and expand your earning. Do something to earn. These are all DA principles. I didn't think of anything new. All I did was put it in a game environment and got people to come into a small group. And when people are doing recovery in small groups, such as, again, look at small groups in recovery. It's the sponsor-sponsee. Look at small groups. It's the pressure relief group. Look at small groups. It's the meeting of, three or more people. When people do fellowship together, when they do recovery together in a fellowship, it accelerates the process, I believe, for me and for others. So anyway, we've done the DA Tools game.
1 minute left.
But I credit this for spirit. That spirit, the whole goes back to one of the first things I said, is that we come together to find solutions. And usually the pillars are clarity in our finances, but finding a higher power to help us on the path to recovery, on the path to self-love. And so as workshop chairman, all I did, I was on the outside of a fellowship, then I was on the inside of a fellowship, and with spirit speaking through me, had the ability to come up with something that worked for people, and the game keeps going. And I'm grateful to have done that service. And as they say, and I'll finish with this, we only keep that which we give away. And that's why I'm a big believer in service and grateful to this program. And since then, my life has changed. I'm financially sober. I'm solvent. I have savings. And I invested this year. And it's all because of the program. And I could not be more grateful to DA and the people who step up and do service in the program. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris, for your inspirational and heartfelt share. All right, our next speaker, if she is on the line, is Andrea. Andrea, are you on the line? If so, please press star 6.
Hi, yes, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, loud and clear. Thank you. And how would you like our spiritual timekeeper to time your share?
5:55. And one, please.
Great. Please proceed.
Thank you.
Thanks for your service.
Thank you both for your service, and thank you to everyone that's done service and making sure that this meeting happens. Thank you for everyone that's able to attend today or able to listen to this call. I'm really grateful to be a part of it. My name is Andrea. I'm out of New York. My solvency date is July 13, 2013. I came into program in January of 2007. This was technically my third program. I came into the other two about a year and a half earlier, and I found that as I began to clean up the wreckage of my life as it related to other aspects of my disease, the money issue became a bigger, it became much more prominent in my life. I knew about DA from probably December of 2016, but I didn't think I needed it because I didn't really have a lot in the way of debt. But in January, I discovered that my job was going away, and I also realized that I didn't have any money, and I wouldn't know how I could take care of myself. But more importantly, I knew that I was unconscious in many ways around my spending. The biggest wake-up call came in August of 2006. I closed on my apartment at the end of July, and by the end of August, I discovered that I had spent $10,000, and I had really nothing to show for it. I had no idea how I spent the money, and I just was baffled by how it could have happened. Since I am someone, I've always been someone who reconciled her books on a regular basis, Where the money went, I still have no idea. So clearly I was just taking cash out of the cash machine and just spending it and not paying any attention to what was happening. So came into program. My job ended. My department was reorganized. My job disappeared. By then I knew I wanted to go into another profession. And I was lucky enough to be offered a lucrative package, and I took that. And made my way into that new profession within about a month and a half after that, and was horribly under-earning immediately upon entering that new profession. And so I did my best to stay as close to program as possible, eventually getting a sponsor who took me through the steps. And in the middle of that process, I have certain tendencies, and he knew about them, and he was very, very kind. He was very kind and he was very gentle, and whoever was unmuted and just blew their nose, please mute. Thank you. So he was very kind and gentle and very supportive, but one thing in particular was really holding me back, and it was the fact that I kept getting overdraft charges or funds unavailable charges. And the reason I was getting those charges was because my new job did not have automatic payment. So I would get a check, and then I would have to drive like a crazy person to get to my bank on the next morning so that I could deposit the check. But it was never enough. And then I would drive like a crazy person back to get on the train to get into work that day. And so my thought was, well, why do you have a bank that only has one branch that's, you know, like so many miles away? Why don't you get another bank? And I said, well, my checks are in the 2000s. I mean, I've been with them for many years. Why would I do that? And he said, okay, all right. But it just kept continuing. It would not stop. And I think the most I think I got was like $300 in insufficient funds or funds unavailable charges. And one day, for the umpteenth time, I called to complain that I just lost my solvency again. And, you know, I didn't say this, but it was that terminally unique syndrome that plagues me, that I was sort of whining about. And he finally just said, okay, here's the deal, Andrea. I'm tired of listening to you complain about this. I need you to start planning, figuring out which bank you'd like to go to. So you're going to get a piece of paper. You're going to identify every bank that's within a certain radius of your job or your home, and then call me once you've done that. And, you know, I was a little miffed about, you know, him being so stern with me. But you know what? When I looked around, I discovered that there were about 7 banks within a 2-block walking distance from my home. And I ended up getting another bank, and I really didn't have that problem again afterwards. So I use that story to illustrate that, you know, part of my challenge and program has always been the sense of being terminally unique, that this is not going to work for me, that I am just not redeemable, not salvageable. And it's taken a lot, and it continues to take a lot, for me to understand and accept myself as being, you know, a worker among workers. I'm not hopeless.
That's 5 minutes.
Thank you. I'm not irredeemable. So when I came into this program, I went to a face-to-face meeting, and it was filled with people who had solvency and who had a lot of financial success. And once again, I believed that couldn't possibly be me. And so I thankfully discovered that there were phone meetings. And so probably the first year of my DA program was spent on the phone, just listening, never speaking, because it was a combination of shame at not, you know, having an order and fear of being ridiculed, of being deemed less than, coupled with a belief that I was less than, that just kept me out of the rooms and also kept me from sharing. But over time and with the support of my sponsor, I began to show up for meetings. And what kept me going back to the meetings was doing service every single step of the way. And so little by little, I started to gain solvency, and then I was able to do service at different levels. So I went from being a timekeeper for about a year to actually, you know, finding speakers and then eventually working my way up to leading meetings, which was thrilling because it meant, you know, unfortunately in my brain, it meant that I had arrived. And of course, once I arrived, I lost my solvency again, had to start all over, kept working my way up. And eventually, you know, by recognizing that I needed to build up a relationship with a power greater than myself, I found a medium place where I could exist. And eventually I became a business chair, and I loved serving as business chair because it enabled me to learn a lot of things that I didn't really know, but also show up and show up in ways that I wasn't necessarily prepared to show up, but I was willing to show up. And so in that willingness, I became prepared to do the job. So eventually I found a new home meeting for various reasons, and that home meeting turned out to be a vision meeting. And once again, I found myself being challenged because there were so many things in my life that I really wanted, and one of them was to stop under-earning. Because even though I had solvency, I still wasn't earning enough to enable me to have just one job. And I listened week after week to everyone's vision for themselves of, you know, just the most wonderful, amazing things. And I thought, well, you know, I shouldn't risk having a vision because nothing I want ever actually comes to me. And then one day, an old-timer in program stopped me in my meeting, and he said, what's your vision for yourself? And I said, well, you know, I'd like to buy this, or I'd like to get that. I'd like to go here. And he said, your only vision needs to be to build your relationship with a power greater than yourself and to maintain your solvency. If you can do those two things, you can have anything in the world that you want. And that made a lot of sense to me. Because I knew from past experience, without solvency, I wasn't going to have the money to do what I wanted to do and at least be able to enjoy it. And without that relationship with a power greater than myself, I definitely wasn't going to be able to stay solvent and to show up because the bedevilments were were real factors in my life. Challenges with work colleagues. Challenges in the home, you know, every single bedevilment was a factor. And I found that by building that relationship with a power greater than myself, I was able to overcome those bedevilments just for that day. Then each day was a brand new day, was a brand new challenge, was a brand new effort. But I, at that point, I was willing to make the effort. And so that became my vision. To build that relationship with a power greater than myself and to maintain my solvency. And so eventually this vision meeting needed a GSR, and I went back to my sponsor and said, you know, I think I'd like to do this. What do you think? And he said, I think you'd be great. I think you'd really enjoy the challenge. But you're going to have to give up some of your other service positions. And I should say at one point I had eight different service positions for I think three or four different meetings. And he was
That's
right.
10 minutes.
Thank you. I'm going to start to wrap up. And I gave up everything except sponsoring and the occasional PRGs and just sort of dived into GSR work. And I'm grateful that he said that because it's been incredibly challenging as a GSR, all of the work. But it's also been incredibly rewarding and just a real honor to get to work with the people that I've been able to work with in support of the organization. So I want to start to wrap up. When I talk about visions, when I think about my personal vision, you know, I want the moon. I want everything. I want the sun and the stars. You know, there isn't a single thing out there that I don't want, but that's not really my vision. Those are just the things I want, not even necessarily the things I need. My vision really is to be of service and to show up every day and to just allow my higher power to show me what it is he or she or it, they, want me to be, want me to do, where they want me to go. Because whenever I allow that, my mind is absolutely blown with what I'm given. I'm so thrilled to be able to say that this month I paid off the last unsecured debt that I owned. And I never thought I would be able to pay it off in this time frame, but I did. I no longer under-earn. I know that I can earn way more than I'm earning now, and I'm more than happy for my higher power to show me how to do that. And I just, you know, this weekend my life's been a little bit topsy-turvy because I've hired a team to paint my apartment, and I'm redecorating it. And I know those are all things, but those are things that I never thought I would be able to do. And just by moving away from wanting those things and just focusing on program and higher power and service, all of those things have come into my life. I should say that I donate to World Service on a monthly basis. I have an automatic withdrawal coming out of my paycheck or out of my checking account. And I do that because there are times when I'm in meetings and I'm not able to give in the meeting. And in the past, I wasn't giving to World Service. But having worked on that level, I now realize how important it is for me to support not just my meetings, but also World Service. You know, there are not a lot of people that go to World Service each year. And it's when you stop to think that the individual sent are the ones that for that next year are doing the work of the organization. They're helping to ensure that this organization thrives and survives. It's just stunning when you realize it's so few people. So I make those donations and I give service whatever I can, wherever I can, including serving as a GSR and as a sponsor. And I show up and I have a program where in the morning I pray and I meditate because I want to hear what my higher power's guidance is for me. Because in that guidance, I get the direction I need and I get the new visions that I'm always looking for. So, again, I want to thank everyone for being here. I hope this was of some service to someone. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Andrea, for your inspirational and transformative share of living in the promises and in recovery and the journey that it's taken you. Just beautiful. And our final panelist is Eric. Eric, are you on the line? Please press star 6 to unmute.
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. And how would you like to be timed?
5 and 1 would be great.
Great. All right. Please proceed. Thanks for your sharing.
Thank you for your service. My name is Eric M, and I'm calling in from the tip of Cape Cod, Massachusetts in Provincetown. It's very humbling and also exciting to be here on this call. Thank you for everyone providing service. It's been wonderful to become much more present and in tune listening to the two prior speakers, and I'm going to just share my story of DA and how I found it and higher power brought me to. My anniversary date is November 1st, 2008, and a couple years before that, I had been working another program and been very unsatisfied in some level, and I was trying so many different avenues to make myself feel better and fill this God-sized like hole that I had still existing in me with so many years of recovery from this other program. And, you know, I've come to realize that there are no coincidences in the world. And a very dear friend of mine had been speaking to me about this program called Debtors Anonymous. And I didn't, you know, quite understand, relate, identify. But in that moment, in hindsight, the seed had already started to be planted. And I was at that point very desperate, financially, emotionally, spiritually. It just affected me on every level, which some people can identify with for sure. And no matter what I did, I was always in a financial problem, and it was the economy, or it was the seasonal resort that I live in. It was always something else that was causing the problem. And one day, I can remember it clear as a bell, I was laying in my bed. It must have been 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, absolutely paralyzed. And I had, at that point, looked at DA website, and I noticed that there were phone meetings. And this is so integral to my story. And where we are today is that being in such a remote area, we had no physical meetings of any sort anywhere in the area. The closest DA meeting was once a week, an hour and a half away. So I picked up the phone in absolute gift of desperation, which acronym for God, and I called one of these phone meetings, and it was an experience that I will remember forever, is not identifying with who the actual people were on the phone call, but all of a sudden hearing a language that was spoken that I didn't know existed, and it related to me and how I felt deep down in my cells. Bill Wilson has a great quote where he says that only another cave dweller has the ability to reach his or her hand into the cave and help another cave dweller out. And that's what happened on that day. I heard these folks somewhere out in the Midwest speaking about their relationship to finances, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And I didn't know any of that was possible, that anybody spoke about that, that it was anything in my consciousness. And at that point was that just that little chink in the armor that enabled me, you know, that I call it hope. I felt hope at that point. And, you know, for the first time, maybe feeling like something might be actually fitting together rather than being ripped apart as I perceived it. So I ended up chit-chatting with this friend of mine and doing phone meetings and, you know, quick by slow, all of a sudden we found ourselves once a week traveling together an hour and a half each way to a DA meeting. And we started this process. And it was just the two of us. And we made that journey because we found this new language, this an information and awareness to help us out of where we were. And shortly, somewhere around, you know, 9 years ago, she and I acquired a space in our town, and we sat in this room for almost a year, once a week. Still gets me emotional. Just the two of us holding the space of Debtors Anonymous. And lo and behold, someone showed up, and another person showed up. And we had this very, very small group of debtors showing up, working the program solely from what we heard from phone, online, any resource we had outside of our environment. And fellowship-wise has been such a huge gift that DA has to offer, and I love to offer back, is that we have this mobility and technology to get more information, because some of us are very remote and don't have access to physical meetings. So a few more folks showed up, and long story short, here we are 9 years later. We have four meetings in our town covering BDA, DA, and fear of success and vision issues. There are between six and eight of us strong that show up for all four of these meetings every week. And within these meetings, once a month, we have a speaker meeting. And because there's only six of us, you can only speak so many times before the story, everybody else can tell your own story. So we listen to MP3s from all of your meetings all across the world once a month times four meetings for the past 6-7 years, and has been so amazing to our recovery here. A lot of our MP3s come, we listen to the Southern California group, actually have spoken with Chris about the DA Tools game and bringing that here. And within all of this, part of our group is we encourage all of us to reach outside of our group, which is only six people, for action partners and PRG folks and sponsorships so we can gather as much information and experience and hope that DA has to offer throughout the country and the world and bring back to our little group in hopes that we'll always be there for the next person and, of course, for our recovery and providing service back. And several months ago, we created our first annual Journey to Visions weekend that is going to be happening May 19th and 20th here in our town of Provincetown. We will have 2 days of workshops, vision work, vision boards, and because all of this technology is available and we want to provide this fellowship, we're creating this weekend with several workshops that will be done via Skype and remotely. And actually, Chris with the DA Tools game is one of those workshops where we will be here physically at our weekend, and he will provide the DA Tools game to us through Skype. And we are very hopeful that we can create this first annual event and start to reach out to folks in that way that may not have access to physical meetings on a daily basis or meetings that have more than eight people. It is possible. I've learned in these programs that it really only takes two to recover, and we are a great example of that. And we will have some speakers from New York doing workshops, and again, Southern California. So if anyone wants to know more about it, I will, of course, leave my email at the end for people to get in touch with us. And just back to the power of, you know, maybe some folks who are recording their meetings in other parts of the world and putting them on the website may not realize how powerful it is. But we are a group of six folks that can attest to the power of absolute financial debting and under-earning transformation by having access to these MP3s and phone meetings.
That's 5 minutes left.
Thank you so much. That are available to all of us who are in the program and willing to take action on that level. So again, very humbling to be here and to walk through that whole story that higher power, of course, is part of all of this, and that 9 years ago there were two folks that sat together in a room and held space because we wanted growth and change and awareness and freedom, and we have found that and continue to grow and are now creating our first conference weekend here in our town that all are welcome. And it is a pleasure that I'm able to hear all of you speak and be on this call. And I thank you for your time. That's it.
Thank you so much, Eric, for sharing the seeds of the promises coming true through working recovery and growing the fellowship.
At this time,
we're going to, I hope panelists are able to stay for open question and answer. And first, members are going to share experience, strength, and hope for six members. But I'm going to be turning the recording off so that the individual shares won't be recorded.